Hey, Jackson, this check came in for you.
Awesome.
It's from the University of Maine.
Ah, perfect. All right. So this is going to be able to fund another, ooh, that's a nice crispy check right there. That's going to be funding another couple of 6 months of research, I think, here.
Research?
Yes, indeed.
When did you become a man of education?
Well, lucky me, because I have a master's in public policy. They'll let anybody submit a research grant for, you know, anything you kind of want. So this time I decided that, hey, why don't we take moose antlers? You know moose antlers. You've heard of them, right?
Absolutely have.
Famously been on mooses before. Mises? Mises?
Moose.
Mooses. Famously been on mooses before.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we put them on something else? That's what I wrote in my grant. And now the University of Maine is like, bet.
Elaborate?
Well, we've had a couple trial runs. None of them have been super successful, but I think we're going to be able to figure out the right distribution of antler to animal size to allow more creatures to sprout those beautiful, beautiful, big ol' tendrils of antler that
moose
have.
Wait, so are you taking the antlers from the moose and grafting them?
I am grafting them.
Jackson.
Like Godric. And I've attached them to these other animals' skulls now. So a couple things that haven't worked out. Rabbits, terrible for that. I've been keeping the antlers the same size. I thought that they would kind of adjust to the weight. But yeah, no, they just kind of sit there. It's too top heavy with the antlers. So that's been pretty bad. Done it with a couple of dogs. Some of the dogs have done better than others. Greyhound, they're a little too skinny. I'd say mastiffs, though, they're doing okay with it. Next, I think I'm going to try bullfrogs. I don't know why. They just keep saying, like, we want more, and I'm giving the University of Maine what they want. Can we say that? Can we say the University of Maine? I think we can. It's a public institution.
Yes.
Anyway, next I'm going to put him on a pigeon.
I'm going to go write a letter of complaint. Excuse me.
Feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs, up to camp with Stephen King, river curses, Wesley sings, homegrown horror. Hello.
Hello,
and welcome to our homegrown
ghosts.
Frogs.
We're ghost frogs. I'd be a co-host.
I am your ghost frog host, Jackson, a co-host.
And this is Homegrown Horror, where we talk about Maine spooky things. We're a Maine spooky podcast that talks about Maine spooky things. It's been a while since we said it like that, and I miss it.
Yeah.
We talk about true crime, cryptids, murder, ghosts, hauntings, and today, a mythical beast of epic proportions.
Of epic proportions? Is it big?
It's epic.
It's epic, okay.
It's a very well-known one.
It's got lore.
It's got lore. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Is a mythical beast just a cryptid? It is a cryptid.
Does that mean that dragons are cryptids?
Huh. Are dragons cryptids? Well, cryptids, most cryptids aren't real, so but we call them cryptids anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I would actually classify a dragon as a kaiju. Say kaiju is
that's
more
kind
accurate.
Of fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's like, it's a different category. Cryptid, I feel like that's sort of more, I don't know. I guess there are larger things been called a cryptid. Is a manticore a cryptid? Anyway, sorry. Mythical beast cryptid.
Mythical beast.
Mythical beasts.
Mythical beast.
I'm fantastic, dude. We've had our fourth start of spring. We're going to get some snow tomorrow.
Fucking hell. I hate this. And then also,
I think it's going to be like 11 inches.
Yeah, there are some parts, specifically Rangeley is going to be getting 18 beautiful inches.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, it just doesn't end. Should I even go, like, drive to my work tomorrow? I have to drive so far north. It's like, yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it, man. So
I'm just going to stay home for another 2 days.
I
mean,
yeah, I was thinking about going in today, but then I was just kind of like, you know, if there's snow and I can't get in.
Then that's that.
Then that's that.
Yeah, exactly. And you could work from here. It's fine.
I can. I do most of the week.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, I'm going to do the same, hopefully. I don't know. I'll probably go in tomorrow. It's not going to snow till at night. Anyway, this is too much weather.
We're back to being the weather podcast. The other thing that happened is we went to Anime Boston.
Oh, we did do that.
Did you forget?
Nearly. Anime Boston. Back what to a real fun life. Time. Anime Boston 2024 had a grand old time. 30,000 awesome. Weebs and nerds descend upon the old Beantown.
Beantown. It was excellent. I had a wonderful time. It was my first time going after being like only going to PortCon, and I was unprepared for how large it was.
I had a golly gee old blast. It was a fun time. It was everybody had amazing cosplay outfits. Just everybody really just like brought it home, and it was some of them were uncomfortable. some of them were a little eye gazy, you know, but that's fine. I think that's
it's anime.
It's right. It's anime. People walking around in Kill la Kill outfits. That's like, that's not a lot of clothing.
No, it's not. So many great artists that we saw. I went to at least one panel. We got to see our friend Gabby compete in the masquerade. She competes with her cosplays and has for like the last 10 years. And so it was finally awesome to see her do that.
Hell yeah. It was awesome to see that. It was a cool experience too.
I also got to go to a concert.
You got to go to a concert.
Like, it really is like, it's all encompassing and it's really fun.
They brought the house down from what I heard.
They threw the microphone
and it's really funny. All the IT staff gasp.
Yeah, James. Like,
God damn it. They've done it.
Oh, they've done it. Yeah, we got back on Sunday, and it was yesterday. I had post-con depression for sure. Like, I'm not ready to go back to the real world. I don't want to be done.
It was a grand old time. I slept for 11 hours the next day. I took a nap in the middle of the day too, and then I slept longer yesterday. I think I got every night. I got 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And that was even starting from like when the day that we went, because I had to prep so much around the house to be able to leave.
Yes.
And it was literally just like cleaning and like putting things away. I mean, like, we don't have much time to do most things, but this was sort of like, we're gone for 3 days, so let's get everything organized. But it was nice to come back to a more organized home, I suppose. But yeah, I was very tired. But it was still fun. Yeah,
it was. I definitely slept for a while.
I think one of the funnier things I went to, it was not a great panel, but I did go to a panel that was not very good. It was just funny to be able to go to something and watch people bomb for 2 hours.
Oh my God.
It was like, it's, you know, it's hard to entertain people. I get that. But like, man, there was zero preparation for what I saw. I was like, you guys didn't even try. And it was just hilarious watching people like just leave in like throughout the whole show. I think over 60% of the room left. Anyway, I don't know if I should leave this in, but it was just funny to me.
Those poor guys. I'm editing, and I get to decide.
Well, I won't say anything, but one of the funniest heckles that I threw out there at this person's expense, he at one point said, "I'm hard in 7 different places," and I said, "That's the rigor mortis setting in."
Fucking hell. Well, that actually leads into this quite well.
I'm going to throw one more thing to edit out. That's fine. I won't say it.
No, because you just ruined my segue.
Okay, fine.
I'm keeping that in so everybody knows that you ruined my perfectly good segue.
Then I'm going to say you the know joke what? And you're going to have to edit it out.
You know what? So, things that are hard are phallic, right? You know what else is phallic and horny? What do you know about unicorns?
Oh my goodness. I know that they have a single hard horn. They share DNA with narwhals.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing? Do they share DNA with narwhals?
I don't think so.
They must come from the same genus.
Maybe.
No, they don't. They're two different. Anyway. That's all I know.
They're that's
horses.
All you know?
They're horses.
I wasn't sure how much you would know based on like...
Okay, here's my other unicorn knowledge. If you drink their blood, you live forever. They make really good glue.
I think that's just horses.
Well, why not unicorns? It's the same clippy-cloppies.
Same little clippy-cloppies.
Except the glue is glitter. Glittery.
So one thing that I always think is very funny that I forget is that like... There's some, like, biblical stuff about unicorns, too.
Oh, yeah, there are unicorns in the Bible. I don't remember what they say about them, but they're in there.
They are. What we do, like, we know they are... Sometimes they are depicted as goats in the Middle Ages, specifically. We see some of that going on.
That's just a goat with one horn.
It's just a goat with a horn.
It's just shaved down.
And they've been around since, like, biblical times. Apparently, if it comes across a virgin, it will lay its head in its laps. But, like, just universally, that's how you could tell if there's a virgin around.
And if you, yeah, that's how you, man, the unicorn's really outing people. I can tell you're a virgin. It's like, why you gotta say it out loud? Also, you can ride its back and then it'll take you to a river and drown you.
Jesus Christ.
That's Kelpies.
Yeah, that's Kelpies. So this little sec, because I wanted to use this because I feel like this has a little bit of like sprinkling of things about unicorns that I didn't know. So this is from, the app is being weird. Hold on. It is from Time Magazine. Quote, there was a time when horns supposed to be those of the fantastic unicorn sold for $12,000 to $150,000 apiece. A powdered bit of genuine unicorn horn was considered to be the most potent remedy a medieval physician could prescribe. On at least one occasion, the tip of a unicorn horn was administered to a dying pope. Unicorns are described in legends as far back in the mists of antiquity. Many men boasted of seeing such a creature, and all agreed that he was a proud and mighty beast, too wise and fleet to let himself be caught, and that a single fine sharp horn grew from its head. This is where I got this from. In the Middle Ages, it was believed that if a unicorn saw a virgin, he would approach it gently and lay his head in her lap, unquote. I like how Time assumed that it's a female virgin.
Try not to scare the virgin.
The virgin.
Question.
Yes.
Why do they price the unicorn horn by dollars?
That's a good question. Did they
do a little converter and
that's
say,
what I'm wondering.
It was worth whatever gold pieces or something they mm-hmm. might have used.
Yes.
As we all know, medieval times they used the D&D currency system, so whatever copper, silver, platinum or gold you might need there.
Exactly. It's also really funny because I have like all of my sources on two different, I have it on Jackson's phone and my phone, and I have a book. So we're doing so good.
We're doing trifecta of sources. We can barely manage any of them.
I can't. So Jackson, why do you think I'm talking about unicorns? We're in Maine.
Well, I hope they are related to Maine in some capacity.
Oh, they are.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Now we can justify this episode.
Thank goodness. So when I was scuttling through Strange Maine, you know, my favorite book by Michelle Soulier, I have put my little eyes upon this before. And I've never, nice hat.
Thank you.
Stole my witch hat. I wasn't sure if this could, like, be enough information to yield a full episode. But there was a man who decided that it was completely, totally possible to engineer a unicorn.
Wow.
And he was at the University of Maine.
Okay.
So he did this at the University of Maine. His name is Dr. W. Franklin Dove. And in May...
Dr. Dove! Unicorn of scientists.
In May of 1936, he succeeded in creating a unicorn. And part of the reason I'm talking about this is...
I don't believe Dr. Dove here.
I have a video to show you.
Of a unicorn? Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. I bet it's a donkey. They painted a donkey white.
So.
This is like that Red Dead mission.
Part of the reason why I'm telling you this story, because all in all, mad scientist-ness aside.
Yeah.
It's a little animal testy, testing-y, and people have big opinions about it.
Might be crossing a little bit into eugenics. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
So one of the interesting things as I was going through all of these different sources is the fact that, back in the 1800s, there was a French naturalist named Baron Georges Leopold Cuvier, who basically...
Baron Cuve.
For a really long time through the 19th century, people really did believe that unicorns were probably still a thing, even though they had been like, dragons, no. Basilisks, no. Like, all these other mythical
unicorns.
Creatures... That's the thing, is they're like, partly because they're in the Bible, and also partly because of the fact that there was still a lot of people saying like, oh, I've seen it, or I know somebody who's heard of somebody who saw it. Specifically, it sounds like in Asia is where people thought unicorns came from. So this guy was like, look, it is scientifically impossible for there to be a unicorn, because to have a single horned animal makes no sense because of the way that the horns grow out of the bone.
What about narwhals? What about narwhals? What's up with them?
What about narwhals? You know, I feel like he probably had never seen a narwhal and therefore was like, no.
You know, I appreciate his sentiment, but yeah, like the narwhal, it falls apart in the face of the narwhal, this logic. But don't blame him for saying unicorns aren't real, considering we haven't seen one.
Yes.
Unless apparently this video proves otherwise.
So Dr. Dove started doing some research, and he did find that there were unicorn sheep. In Nepal.
Unicorn sheep, I'm sorry?
Yes. Basically, what they would do is they would take...
What is a unicorn then? If we're calling unicorn sheep, why aren't we just calling it unicorn horse?
That's a great point, actually.
Is a unicorn just an animal with a horn coming out of its head?
That's the vibe.
That's yes. It? That's interesting.
That's really all it is. So what they would do with the sheep is they would brand them as their horns started to grow. They would brand these sheep, and then the wound would be treated with oil and soot. And instead of growing back out, they would start growing inward and create a singular horn.
Oh, so they're like manufacturing this... horn growth.
Mm-hmm. And so what Dr. Dove found out.
Dr. Dove.
So unlike what Cuvier thought, it is not that horns grow out of the skull, but they are actually like clumps of cells that are separate.
Cells upon cells upon cells.
Yes. So they're these like clumps of tissue and cells that do, if they are separate from the skull, and eventually grow downward into the skull.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think our buddy does? Knowing that, okay, in Nepal, they have manufactured unicorns. Mm-hmm. I want to manufacture a unicorn.
I'm
going to make a unicorn.
So what poor animal does he do this on?
What do you think? I want to know what you think. Ooh, that would be interesting. No.
An elk? A caribou? A reindeer? That's just a caribou.
That's just a caribou.
A jackalope.
You're going all around and not
bison.
Closer.
Buffalo. Rhinoceros.
A cow.
Oh.
Jeez Louise. He literally said pig. Everything except... Oh, my God, stop.
I like the idea of, like, unicorns just being cows. That kind of takes the majesty out of them in some way. Rather than being a horse.
Rather than being a horse. They're bovines are a little more...
Not as graceful.
No, definitely not.
You wouldn't be taking that into any shows, really. Well, I feel bad for this cow now that's going to get burnt, brain dug out by a horn growing inside their skull.
Okay, I found it. So this is from, so Jackson was so kind to let me borrow his JSTOR. So this is from Dr. Dove.
Dr. Dove!
Quote, in March 1933, an operation was performed on a day-old male Ayrshire calf. The two horn buds were cut and pedicled so to lie closely together over the frontal structure at the intersection of lines drawn from the optical foramina and the original horn loci. The circular horn buds were trimmed flat at their point of contact as to provide a larger fusion surface. The transplanted tissues were also placed in direct contact with the frontal bones, the frontal prosterium having been removed in order to ensure subsequent attachment of the developing cornu, the bone spike of the horn, to the frontal bones. It was expected that the two horns would fuse together into one large horn solidly attached to the skull and located between the somewhat above the eyes as the horn as is the horn of the unicorn. The experiment was successful. The animal, now 2.5 years old, bears upon the forehead the stamp of the once fabulous unicorn. The two buds have coalesced and have formed one exceptionally large and long horn molded into the skull bones of the forehead for support. Unquote.
Is a unicorn if it wasn't born a unicorn? I think this is kind of like horseshit that he's just kind of throwing around.
That he's just like...
He's like, it's a unicorn. It's like, no, man, you just fucked with the cow. You just messed with the cow.
You just messed with the...
Yeah, this isn't a unicorn. You messed with the cow. I can't drink this blood and become beautiful forever.
No, you can't. I don't think that this horn is also going to go for an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah, this can't take me to Valhalla.
Do you want to see the unicorn?
Yes, I want to see the unicorn.
There he is.
This poor animal. Just got one big fucking horn coming out of his head. So does that mean the other horn is digging inside of his skull or something?
No. So they basically what they did is they... I'm going to turn it down. There's a little bit of speaking. So what they did is they eventually just fused together. So they're both growing, but they're growing together.
Gotcha.
And it looks like one horn.
Yeah, it does look like one horn. I feel bad for this cow.
So the next question is, so you feel bad for the cow.
Yeah, I do. I feel bad for the cow.
You feel bad for the cow. It has been documented that actually he ended up having a better life than other cows. In his coven of cows. In his herd of cows, he did end up being, like, their top dog. Mostly because...
They could poke their eye out.
Exactly. Exactly, Dr. Fell. When other cows, you know, normally it's to... When cows will fight and use their horns to do so, it is to, like, more, like, give them the other one a concussion.
Yeah.
This is more of a... Stabbing motion.
I'm stabbing you.
I'm stabbing you. But the other thing is the horn is actually very useful for digging up fences so he could escape.
So he escaped a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
A little unicorn cow.
A little poor unicorn cow would escape a lot. The other thing is even though he had this weapon on his head, he was actually a lot more gentle than many of the other cows in his herd.
Okay.
And the way that they described it, which I thought was really fascinating, is that...
Too late. I'm cutting this out. Too late.
No, you're
I'm
not.
I'm cutting this out.
No, you're not, because I'm editing it.
Wait. I'm starting to regret my statement that I didn't research.
I did. I'm trying to find the quote that I read.
I'm just making a song. It's not about you.
Sure, it's not.
A unicorn is not a cow.
fair. So Dr. Mark Blumberg from the University of Iowa has written about this experiment. Uh-huh. And he says, fuck, I lost it again. Motherfucker.
I'm starting to believe there is no source.
There's no source.
There's no source.
I made this whole story up.
You doctored this very convincing video.
Quote, Franklin Dove's unicorn acquired, according to its creator.
Why is everyone calling it a unicorn?
A, quote, peculiar power, unquote. This bull used his single horn, quote, as a prow to pass under fences and barriers in his path, or as a forward thrusting bayonet for his attack.
That's not a power.
They're calling it a peculiar power.
It's not a power. You just made his horn go forward. Cows rut in the dirt with their horns. They can dig up stakes with their horns. This is
also really interesting. This is from the same Scientific American article. Quote, and this example of an animal using its unusual form, its freakiness, to its advantage.
Its freakiness! Look at the freak go! Look at the freak.
To its advantage, inspired Bloomberg to change the focus of his own research. Bloomberg now studies how neural pathways between one's brain and one's limbs. Oh, how they form between one's brain and one's limbs. Have you ever seen a dog twitching in its sleep? Bloomberg thinks those twitches help the brain map out the body. But thinking about anomalies made Bloomberg consider how the brain reacts when its body is altered. Like with the unicorn body, again, here we call it a unicorn, body form could change behavior. Quote, when we think about instincts, we think of them as programs in our brain that tell us what to do, unquote, Bloomberg said. But that concept of instinct is wrong. Quote, what's wonderful about the nervous system is that it's incredibly plastic, unquote. When it comes to mapping the body during sleep, Bloomberg said, quote, I'm quoting a lot, we map what we have, unquote. Our brains can override instinct. We can develop new behaviors like a bull using a unicorn horn as a bayonet, a quadriplegic person playing wheelchair rugby, or an artist, Irish artist, Christy Brown painting with his left foot, unquote. It's funny because you guys just talked about that.
Yeah, my left foot.
So I think it's really fascinating that we can use this as a great example to talk about neural pathways, especially as somebody who has also used a lot of that like in my real life and on a healing journey with stuff with my own health conditions. But something that bothers me just a little bit is like, did we have to do this at the cost of this poor bull?
I don't think we did.
Did we really have to do this at the cost of the poor bull?
It's just kind of like, what was the point of this? That's the whole thing. It's like, this serves nothing.
I think that's honestly...
It's like, I'm going to make a unicorn. You didn't make a unicorn. You just, like, fucked with a cow's horns.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about science. Is sometimes you wonder, how the fuck did you get to this point?
It's like, why are we doing?
How is this what you decided to do?
Why is this the focus right now?
Why is this the focus right now?
I can understand, like, things, like, feeding on each other, sort of kind of like, you know, a scientist might focus a lot on, like, one specific niche area. But that means that research then feeds into other tangential kind of areas of focus, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, this is kind of like, I don't know, what are we gonna get out of this specifically?
I think the other thing,
we can fuse horns together to make one horn. Cool. How is this practical to anything?
It's not.
Are we gonna start weaponizing cows? We're gonna send them out onto the battlefields. We'll ride cows with their horns out.
That's a good idea.
It's 1936, and I've wasted everyone's time. Dr. Dove.
Dr. Dove. I think I also feel a little weird, also, when you find out that he did more than this one experiment.
Oh, God, he made more?
Including creating three-horned animals.
Why?
So I don't know if he, like, cut it in half.
Who's funding this research?
The University of Maine.
Why? Why are we doing this? Oh my gosh. Maine, come on. Dr. Dove. Dr. I have important horn research to get back to.
Yeah, Wikipedia calls it the famous unicorn.
It's a cow. So he made other, what did he move on to? Homunculus?
It just says other research. Other developing research. Food acceptance.
What? Okay.
Yeah, the purpose was to examine the causes of food non-acceptance. Very interesting body of work. But that is something. The other thing that I kind of find upsetting is I don't know what happened to the bull. I don't know if it lived a long...
He escaped.
Let's got hope out. So. I don't know if he lived a long, happy life. There's no, like...
He got out, and then there was a series of reported stabbings happening throughout the state.
It's fascinating. That and there really isn't a good conclusion for Dr. Dove either, in the sense where I don't really know what this did. I mean, now...
I think eventually he has to make himself into a unicorn.
I don't think he did that, unfortunately.
Missed opportunity. Dr. Dove.
I love that you have a Dr. Dove, just the way that you say it. It's very funny to me. It's weird that this little, this mad scientist.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, this is some mad scientist shit. Yeah, why did anybody, like, go along with this? Again, why did anybody find this useful to make, like, oh, I'm going to make a three-horned creature? What the fuck?
I mean, now, like I said, with, like, Dr. Mark Bloomberg, is the fact that we can look at it in a neuroscience way, but I don't
yeah,
think...
Yeah, what is wrong with Dr. Dove?
I don't think that was Dr. Dove's intention. His intention was just to prove Cuvier wrong.
Yeah.
He was like, bet.
Bet. I'm going to make one.
He literally was just like... Bet. It seems like he's got, like, it does seem like he has a sort of
suck
background.
Suck on this, Cuvée.
He has this background in farm science. So maybe that's what it is. And he's like, how can I, like they do in Nepal, how can I make this animal better? Through.
Is it better?
Injuring it and performing experiments on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is just like, again. There serves nothing. Why the sheep? Was there a reason for the sheep to, like, have one horn? Also, here's that other thing. Here's this asshole saying, like...
Here's this asshole saying, like,
this is some big, cool scientific thing. Meanwhile, they're already fucking doing it in a different country. No one's giving those people credit.
No.
It's like, yeah, we have a whole herd of weird, freakish sheep. That we just do this for fun. Why? Is there a reason for those Nepal people to have the sheep like that?
I really don't know. He does not really explain it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of looking at this. Dr. Dove Scientific Monthly article again. And he says... Quote, the artificial production of the unicorn can serve only a very minor part in explaining the myth, which has been so greatly elaborated. But such an experiment shows that if the unicorn's horn can be artificially produced by the transplantation of tissues, and that if a single compound horn can arise from the forehead as a graceful and forceful weapon, then the secret may have been known to past ages, especially since actual reference to the horn tissue transplantation exists in Pliny. If the extravagant color pattern of the horn, white base tipped with red or black, is duplicated in the Ayrshire, then the same color scheme or one similarly extravagant could surely have been produced in ancient breeds. Finally, the experiment appropriates the modern desire to analyze behavior as a product of experience. It shows that the possession of a powerful weapon alters behavior of the animal selected to become a unicorn and indicates that the unicorn's dominant and aristocratic behavior can be brought out with a single behavior factor unassociated with genetic origin.
This is horseshit.
The dominance of a unicorn animal over the ordinary two-horned beasts of the herd is here offered as a striking instance of the dependent behavior upon form.
What the fuck?
In 1673, Dr. Ulfert Dapper described a unicorn observed in the wild in the Maine woods. Quote, on the Canadian border, there are sometimes seen animals resembling horses with cloven hooves, rough manes, and a long straight horn upon the forehead, unquote. In these same Maine woods, there may be today an authentic unicorn. The reader is invited to join the ranks of many credulous men who have actually seen the unicorn with a horn. Quote, white at the base and scarlet tipped, the leader of the herd who cannot be captured or taken alive, unquote. Oh, and that's a good way to sort of bookend that. So, how do we feel about the encore? Quote unquote.
That's not an encore. No one's like doing shit.
No.
Like, this is all, that's just a person making shit up now.
Yeah,
they're more confident. Are they? Like,
it's also kind of sad because in some of these articles, they are saying like, he just found the secret. Why haven't they evolved this way?
What the fuck?
And like, I don't know.
It's not, no, they're not more confident.
Why is Dr. Dove being praised at outsmarting nature?
He spits in the face of God is what he does. Patui, I will make a one-horned creatures. Then he perfects it and moves on to three horns. What absolute nonsense you have brought to us this fine episode. Thank you so much.
You know, well, if you do have additional questions, take it up with the University of Maine. You're going to have to time travel back to 1930, though.
Go back to 1930. Why are we hiring this guy? Why are we doing this?
Fucking why? It's like I said, it's something that I've always wanted to talk about because when I went through this book, I was literally like, the actual fuck. And the book doesn't even go into like super detail.
No, as much as I love this little book provides like a couple of stories, but it doesn't go into huge detail about said stories at time. It's just a nice starting point usually for our little weird research.
I would like to offer this parting as well. This is from the book. More recently, on February 7th, 1984, Timothy G. Zell patented a variation on this procedure. The commercialization of the process instigated by Zell... where'd it go? It's getting dark. And his wife... her name is Morning Glory. So, yeah, they patented this.
They patented this.
In the 80s. Fucking wild.
That's so weird.
I do wonder if this is a thing that people do and we just don't know about it.
I don't. Like, what?
I hope not.
The purpose of patenting it is, like, why? Again, what does this serve?
What does this serve? Like, again, I mean, maybe they're... do you want your cows to escape and stab each other? Is that it?
Maybe someone patented it because they're like, we cannot let anybody do this. It makes the animals far too powerful. It gives them so much arrogance. They become so full of themselves. They think they're better than everybody else once they get one beautiful horn coming out of the center of their skull.
I am going to cap this with another Maine-related unicorn story.
Okay, perfect.
Because once upon a time... there was a little girl. Her name is my sister. Her name is Autumn, my sister. And she had a pillow pet. Do you remember those?
I love pillow pets. I actually had a pillow pet myself.
Yeah.
Mine was in the Blitz, the mascot of the Seahawks.
Oh. I had a panda. Jamie, my middle sister, had a dolphin. And Autumn, the youngest, the smallest, sweetest little bean, had a unicorn. And of course, when we got them, everyone's like, oh, Autumn, what are you going to name your unicorn? And she says, I think she has to be like maybe 6 or 7 at this point. She says very proudly, horny.
Horny. Great name. You know, that makes sense as a name for a unicorn.
That's why
if you don't think about that,
I was gonna tell this joke like before when I said, you know, it's horny. Yes, and my mom had to keep a fucking straight face.
Oh, how about a different name?
I don't know if she ever did rename it. I should check in. I should check in on that. And that is the story of Dr. Dove's
unicorn. Miracle Unicorn Monthly.
They do, like, yeah, they are like miracle unicorn. Is it a miracle if it's scientifically created? You know what? Sound off in our email inbox.
Some would say God, you know, gives the miracles through the science.
Do you ever think God stays in heaven because he's afraid of what he's created?
That's a great Spy Kids 2 reference right there.
I'm so happy!
It's per Steve Buscemi. If you don't know that quote, get educated. Go watch Spy Kids 2.
Oh, right, wait a minute. He's basically Dr. Dove.
He is Dr. Dove. Steve Buscemi. Or Dr. Buscemi. Dove was the inspiration for Steve Buscemi in Spy Kids 2, whatever his name was.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I should watch that again.
That's a good movie. Let's have a movie night. Let's watch all the Spy Kids.
Well, we got to watch Lord of the Rings first before we have... We're going to watch all of Lord of the Rings, 12 hours. It's going to be great. All right. B, thank you for this interesting little bit of forgotten history. Can see why it was forgotten, but I got another bit of history today for our Mainism. Hey, hey, it's a Mainism. Now, this isn't really a big thing. This is just an interesting fact. But did you know of the town of York?
I do.
Yes. So York's been around quite a long time.
Sure has, Ollie.
It sure has, Ollie. And while, you know, it was one of the earliest settlements of all of New England, and our Mainism today is, it is the first incorporated city in the Americas, or in America. I'm going to put that in quotes because there's a lot happening in 1642.
Yeah.
But it was officially turned into an incorporated city by charter of King Charles I, the guy that made those dogs.
He made the dogs? Is he Dr. Dove too?
He's Dr. Dove. He learned quite a lot. Actually, King Charles was sort of a progenitor to Dr. Dove. Dr. Dove got a lot of inspiration from King Charles.
I bet.
That's actually, there it is. There it is again. We've been fucking with animals for so long. We've been like selectively breeding dogs for so long.
I suppose, like, it's
having
it's...
specific traits like Cavalier King Charles Spaniels per King Charles. Adorable animal, but has a lot of heart problems, you know, because of all the inbreeding.
I know there are so many, there are a lot of breeders now that are unbreeding.
It's actually, we're kind of at that point where like some generations of dog have existed so long that it's kind of like, okay, like these live like 5 years now. We got to stop this. These dogs aren't getting smarter. It's become a problem
now. It's become a total problem.
Get yourself a mutt from the...
Animal
shelter.
Adopt, don't shop.
They're smarter and they won't have as usually weird problems. But anyway, York first chartered March 1st, 1642.
By King Dog Guy.
By King Dog Man. Following Gorgeous George's death, the Massachusetts Bay Company took dominion over this area. In 1652, York was incorporated from a portion of that province, making it the second oldest town in Maine after Kittery, but, you know, still incorporated first as a city. But a lot of rich history. That's all we got.
Fascinating.
There you go. A little bit of history in case you ever didn't know that.
Have you ever been to the Kittery Trading Post?
I've never been to the Kittery Trading Post. What they got in there? They got fun little knickknacks.
Let's go. We'll take a trip.
Little rocks,
I think,
maybe.
It's a little touristy now. But
does it have like little colorful rocks you can put into a bag? Like in the Rainforest Cafe? Does it have like...
trying to think.
Does it have a little dino fossil dig around site?
No.
Does it have like...
It's not the Museum of Science.
Does it have like taxi... When I hear Trading Post, I think of all the like gimmicky little bullshit. Do they have a bad depiction of a first person up front selling cigars?
Yes.
Of course they do.
Pretty sure they do. They did when I was there last.
I bet it's still there.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you all for coming along on this historical episode of Mad Scientists, Mayhem, and the First Incorporated Town. If you have anything that you would like to share, do you have any weird history? How do you feel about this whole experiment? What do you think the real reason was? Do you also agree that he was just bullshitting in the Scientific Monthly? Reach out to us at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on our Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod.
There's got to be easier ways to make money.
Right? You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can just drop some stars on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. But most of all, we're just really happy that you're here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. gosh. Thank you so much. You could be listening to anything, but you're listening to us.
Why are you doing that? Just kidding. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye!